Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of the show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here with vital insights from God's word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
Hey, welcome to the fastest half hour in radio here at Good Fight Radio Show. We learn to discern the difference between good and evil, light and darkness, and discover God's will for our lives. Question: were you as outraged as I was and potentially millions of other people regarding the lasciviousness and occult symbolism, these kinds of things, in Beyoncé's Super Bowl performance last week? A lot of people took to the airwaves. In fact, the Twitter universe was lit up with people decrying some of the perversity, many speaking of the occult symbolism with Illuminati or occult type symbols, so much so that mainstream media got involved trying to, you know, explain to everybody, hey, this isn't about the occult. You know, this was the triangle symbol was really a diamond symbol, and it had to do with, you know, Beyoncé's husband's, you know, Rockaware or his, you know, his company symbol and what have you. Is that right? Is that all it was, or is that a superficial understanding of what was taking place there? I want to get into that in the next couple shows. This show, I'm not going to get so much into the occult and the symbolism at that show, but I want to get into some of the lasciviousness, the sexually suggestive things that were taking place with Beyoncé and what so many millions of people, millions of young people are being exposed to. And is this good for our culture? Is this healthy? Is this encouraging in light of so many of the problems that we're facing and in light of God's word? Now, I just want to make this one point. Speaking of Jay-Z, Beyoncé's husband, I think just where he's coming from says a lot. In fact, Jay-Z calls himself Hova. That's short for Jehovah. It's a little wordplay on Jehovah. And he loves it when his audience screams Hova over and over again as though he's some kind of God. And then, you know, they stick their hands in the air, many of them making the pyramid or triangle symbol and what have you. In fact, Jay-Z, in one of his songs called Empire State of Mind, he sings this, quote, "Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends," quote, end quote. Is that good? Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends? No, I don't think so. In fact, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the only one who saves. Acts 4:12 says there's salvation found only in his name and none other. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So Jay-Z is at very best cutting people off with a message, cutting off the message of salvation, the message of Jesus, and blaspheming our Lord. In fact, in being called Hova, using the name of God for himself, that's very close to what Isaiah 14 says Satan did, who wanted to become like the Most High God. And in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan asked Jesus to bow down and worship him, thankfully Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," it is written, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and serve him only." But we have some deep problems in what's being communicated to our young people today via the rock and pop and rap icons, many artists, the government schools, programming with professors and what, with Darwinism. And we just have, there's a big downward spiral with our culture, and it's heartbreaking. It's becoming godless before our eyes. We see people just going crazy, shooting up schools and everything else as though, you know, they don't have to answer to God. They don't have to fear God. And a lot of the teaching that people get is actually from the artists themselves. Certainly parents in many cases aren't stepping up, teaching their children the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, how to serve God, who God is. And that vacuum is getting filled with people with low moral character, if any at all, that are valuing things that are contrary often to what God values and God's will. I think it's important that we understand this because sadly, in Beyoncé's Super Bowl performance, it was like, you know, many people thought it was like a striptease act. It was full of perversion and what have you. In fact, many were outraged, so outraged that they had to turn the TV off or leave during the halftime show. In fact, check this out. Beyoncé was over the top trampy, according to one mother commenting on the Today Show Facebook page. "I was embarrassed to watch it with my 9-year-old son," end quote. Well, I'd have encouraged her. Glad she was embarrassed. Wish she would have just turned it off at that point. Or taught her son a lesson, you know, and said, "Hey, this is what you don't watch. This is what you don't want to see." An angered Huffington Post reader wrote, quote, "This is a family event. Did the woman need to dress like a harlot?" End quote. A Daily Mail reader wrote this, quote, Beyonce is trashy, her music is trashy, and the designer did a great job capturing that. With another writing, quote, we know we've hit a new low when we can't let our kids watch the halftime show at the Super Bowl. Another person on another website commented, quote, Beyonce was only missing a pole for her striptease. Now, with promiscuity at an all-time high, STDs at epidemic proportions, people dying from STDs, ravaged from diseases and what have you, the murder rate of children through the roof, 54 million babies murdered here in our country, dwarfing those killed by Stalin and Hitler and Pol Pot and Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, legally in our country. And much of this laid at the feet of a, you know, so-called free sex society, which is anything but free. We're in bondage to these sins as a nation. And it's just so heartbreaking to see so many young people being destroyed because they're not taught godly wisdom. They're not taught biblical morality. And it's very, very sad. But I must say, as Christians, we have a responsibility to guard the hearts of our children. We can't expect the world system, the dark world system that we live in, to guard the hearts of our children. In fact, the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. Jesus said that he has chosen us, God himself has chosen us, Jesus has chosen us out of this world. The word of God warns you adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whoever makes himself a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. That's in James chapter 4, verse 4. And 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Fathers of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust thereof is passing away. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we know we live in a dark, fallen world and that we need to be separate, the Bible says, from the world. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So we need to make sure we don't allow our children to be sucked in by all this depravity that's going on. And we need to realize that, guess what? We're held responsible for our children. We can't point and say, hey, it's this artist, that artist. Are we allowing our children to be bombarded through their iPods, through the internet, through popular media, theater, television, with the message of this world? I know it's hard. I'm a parent. Three children. It's an uphill battle. It's really hard. But by the wisdom and the grace given by to us by Christ, it doesn't allow us to go through more than we can handle. We need to seek his face and we need to be serious about this, guarding the hearts of our children. In fact, the scriptures tell us in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Psalm 101, verse 3, very important verse says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. The Bible teaches the principle of garbage in, garbage out. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So you store up garbage, you're going to speak out garbage. Your garbage is, you know, you're going to be like a garbage disposal that goes both ways. We need to store up good things in our hearts. Philippians 4:8 says this. Listen to this verse, very important. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, our children are too young to discern the difference between good and evil. The Bible teaches that. In fact, the Bible warns in the book of Proverbs how the simpleton just opens himself up to evil. In fact, the word used for naive or simple in Proverbs is the word, a Hebrew word for broad, being broad-minded. Children, when they're young, they can't discern. They're so broad-minded. I mean, they'll stick a piece of metal in a light socket, and get electrocuted, or they'll if there's a razor blade on the floor, they'll stick it in their mouth. They need to be taught the same thing spiritually. When kids get older, if they just pick up a rock and just grab any insect underneath that rock with a bunch of crawling insects, there's going to be some danger involved. Well, same thing with the world that we live in, spiritually speaking, with regard to morality, amorality, and that which is constantly and radically anti-moral. We need to teach them the difference between good and evil. In fact, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 talks about how even adults are still like babies in respect to knowing good and evil because they're not conversant with the word of God. It states in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, concerning him, that is Melchizedek, is a type foreshadowing Jesus. We have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, it's important for us as parents to grow in the Lord so we could teach our children, so we can become teachers ourselves and teach them the way of righteousness. See, if we don't, there'll be a vacuum. And people that you don't want teaching your children will be teaching them with their words, with their bad examples. Satanist Marilyn Manson, he said, raise your children better or I'll raise them for you. Sadly, Marilyn Manson has suggested self-mutilization, even suicide in some of his music and lifestyle. Men like that will have to answer to God. You see, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, he warned verses 5 and 6, and whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. But listen, folks, it's not only guys like Marilyn Manson that will answer to God. The Bible says that all of us will stand before God. If you're a parent, we're going to stand before God and give an answer and have to answer to how we raise our children. You see, they're really his children before they're our children. We're merely stewards, babysitters, so to speak, valuable stewards that are supposed to bring them up in Christ. What kind of job are we doing? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Ephesians 6, 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, important to teach the children the word of God. Mothers, it's imperative that you train up your children in the word of God. Older sisters, some older women in the Lord are saying, man, these young women, they don't know how to parent anymore. Older sisters, you're commanded in the word of God that you're supposed to help them. We're told in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So older women are to teach the younger children to love their husbands, to love their children, to be pure. We say, hey, where's the Proverbs 31 women? But where are the Titus chapter 2, verse 4 women? Mature women who are busy teaching younger women how to be good parents, how to be not only good mothers, but good spouses. The Greek word for teach there is an active verb, meaning take action. Older sisters, Lord, the younger sisters need you to encourage them in raising their children in Christ. But I'll tell you what, it's not just mothers that, you know, need to train their children. It's fathers. Where are the fathers? Hey, fathers. Dads, I'm not letting you off the hook. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
All right, hey, we've been talking about Beyonce's Super Bowl performance and how many people were shocked about the lewdness of the actual performance and the effect it would have on them or their children and what have you. And we've been talking about how to combat that. And this show is about, hey, you know what? That's out there, man. Satan's the god of this world system. We as parents are called to guard our children's hearts. If you're a young Christian, you're called to step up, man, and get involved in the warfare and put on the armor of God and make sure that you're not being led astray by music and entertainment and philosophies that would harden your heart toward God and that which is good and evil. Dads, we need to be examples. If you're a dad out there, you need to be an example to your children. This is huge. We will stand before God, as I said earlier. Eminem will step in if you don't. As Marilyn Manson said, if you don't raise your children better, I'll raise them for you. Eminem has a song called Role Model where he sings, follow me, or I should say raps, follow me and do exactly what the song says. Smoke weed, take pills, drop out of school, kill people, and drink. I mean, you know what? It's so beyond even, you know, disputing these days whether there's an influence from artists upon whom young people. I mean, it's just, It's so obvious. I mean, there are scientific studies on music and how it transforms the brain, how it influences people. Many artists are so into saying, hey, isn't it great how we're influencing people in regard to stopping AIDS and things like that? When it comes to the evil in the lyrics, they want to act like, hey, they're innocuous. You know, there's only one side of the knife, there's not two edges, and claim that they're not influencing children for evil. Yet there are scientific studies that show the music radically influences the brain. I have, in our video, they sold their souls for rock and roll. 10-hour version and a 3-hour version. The 10-hour version is the most extensive, the most powerful video you'll ever see on rock music, Satanism, popular culture, and how it's affecting youth and what have you. And we go through artist after artist where we play them, whether it's a video clip or an audio clip, where they're talking about the influence that they're having on children and how when you're not there, man, our children are popping in our music. We're influencing them when you're gone, these kinds of things. Parents, young people, we all need to wake up and say, hey, we should allow the God that created us to influence us and the beautiful things he made for us to influence us. We need to be careful, though. As I said at the beginning of the show, the Bible warns about making a distinction and discerning between that which is good and evil. In fact, God came down on the leaders throughout the Bible who did not teach the discernment between good and evil. He comes down on the priests more than once in the Old Testament because they didn't teach his children how to discern between good and evil. That's what this show is all about, that we need to make wise decisions that glorify God. Now, it's interesting because if we don't step in, yeah, that's true. Guys like Marilyn Manson, Beyonce, Jay-Z, several different artists will step in. Now, it's interesting. Paul warned Timothy to be a good example. To be a good example to those who were under him. He said, let no man despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's in 1 Timothy 4:12. In Titus 2, 7 and 8, Paul warns Titus to be a good example. He states, in all things, show yourself to be an example or pattern of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach. And now both Titus and Timothy were to appoint elders who managed their own households well. That means they were to find godly men to be elders who could help lead the church. And that means if you're a man of God, you're supposed to aspire to be a godly man so you can be used by God to God's glory. And especially, I mean, the beginning is right in your own household. Manage your own household well according to the word of God. It's imperative that you not only teach the word of God to your young people, to your children, to those you in your sphere of influence, but it's imperative also that you lead by example. In fact, it's interesting. There was a study that had to do with how fathers were key to a child's faith. And the study was quite amazing. I've seen several studies like this, and they're all just about the same. And this is one popular study that reveals the importance of leading by example, stating, quote, it is a religious practice of the father of the family that above all determines the future attendance at or absence from church of the children. In other words, the study revealed the father's role as a leader and children continuing to be worshipers of God, going to church, was imperative. The study reports, quote, if both father and mother attend church regularly, 33% of their children will end up as regular churchgoers, and 41% will end up attending irregularly. Only a quarter of their children will end up not practicing at all. Now check this out. If the father is an irregular and mother regular, only 3%, now check it out. Father doesn't go hardly at all, mother's regular, only 3% of the children will subsequently become regulars themselves, while a further 59% will become irregulars, 38% will be lost. Next point, check this out. If the father is non-practicing at all and mother regular, only 2% of children will become regular worshipers and 37% will attend irregularly. Over 60%, check that out, over 60% of their children will be lost completely to the church. Now, it gets even more strange because what happens if the father is regular but the mother is irregular or non-practicing? Incredibly, the percentage of children becoming regularly goes up from 33% to 38% with the irregular mother and up to 44% with the non-practicing. In short, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions are, only one child in 50 become regular worshipers. That's absolutely amazing. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers. Fathers, you need to get yourself in a church, man. You need to lead by example. You need to put Jesus Christ first. You need to help ensure the salvation of your children by leading them an example as to what it means to follow Christ. It's especially important right now that we lead our children in righteousness. that we're examples. I mean, it's always important. But man, we're living in terrible times. The Bible says in the last days, mockers would rise, saying, you know, where's the promise of his coming? We're in those days. The Bible says in the last days, many antichrists would arise. Even in John's day, they were already there, but he warns that in the last days, the ultimate antichrist would come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, in the last days, terrible times will come. Men will be lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and he goes on and on. And in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, but the Spirit speaks explicitly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, doctrines of demons. Brothers and sisters, man, you know, what are you going to do? You need to be an example. Paul goes on to say, in light of that, verse 16 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy 4, watch your life and doctrine closely. That's it. Watch your life. That's your behavior. That's your example. And doctrine. That is, make sure you're biblical. Make sure you're staying close to the Word of God. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. In other words, you have an influence on others. You have an influence on the spiritual well-being of others. So it's important that you have, you know, you lead by example. So I want to encourage you. Now, there's grace and mercy. If you feel like, man, you know, I know all this is true. I know I need to step up and be a man of God. I need to step up and be a woman of God. You know, if there's mercy at the cross, you can receive forgiveness and say, and go to God and cry out for mercy and receive forgiveness. But you have to repent of the sin. You have to repent of not being a godly parent. You just say, you know what? This is evil. This is wrong. Because if we don't repent, we're in huge trouble. So you need to repent and say, God, have mercy on me. I haven't been the mom. I haven't been the dad. I know there's times where I haven't been the dad I need to be. Every day I feel like I need to do better. You just cry out to God and say, have mercy on me. Help me be a stronger parent. And he will give you the grace. He'll give you the power, the dunamis, that miraculous power to rise you up as a parent of God. We have not because we ask not. Seek the Father. Seek his face. Ask, Jesus said, and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. In next week's program, we're going to continue on looking at Beyonce and her Super Bowl performance. But in that program, we're going to look at the occult influence. What was that? You know, what are those triangles all about? Is it really just a triangle or a diamond or what's going on there? And is there more to the picture than meets the eye? Is it possible that Beyonce is channeling a demonic spirit she calls Sasha Fierce? Well, we're going to get into that next week. And you realize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there is a war against the spirit world. Well, we'd like to thank you for being part of the Good Fight Radio Show. We look forward to being with you again next time. Until then, press on in Christ. Press on to know him and make him known. Keep your eyes on the Lord and your hands on the plow. God bless you.
You've been listening to Pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Here comes down to just one thing.